Hello, and welcome to the Bardic Inspiration.
Welcome back to the Bardic Inspiration. We are delving back into the Underdark and discussing Mind Flayers today. So, what is a Mind Flayer?
Just terrible, evil alien creatures that like to eat brains. But they're not zombies because they're actually smart. And they devour brains for intelligence.
Getting smarter and smarter every brain.
Where do they come from?
No one knows.
Yeah, but there are speculations as to where they came from, right?
Far in the outer planes where there is no known connection.
They just kind of existed.
No, there is a story as to the fact that they faced off against Gith in the ethereal plane.
Well, yeah, but their appearance is unknown. Is they may have fought off the Gith and enslaved the Gith and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. As well as plane hopped and the like. But their actual origin, mm-hmm. much like many of the abominations, it's kind of unknown. You know, were they created via magic? Were they created via the primordial chaos that exists between the realms or between the planes? No one really knows, and so far the only speculation is that they come from the outer planes, far beyond heaven, hell, and everything in between. So, yes, they have been around forever, much like our the Aboleth.
Right.
But their actual origin is unknown, whereas the Aboleth are more of a water elemental kind of thought to it.
Gotcha. Now, what do they look like? They have the tentacle-like faces. They have the slimy skin. They look humanoid in the fact that they stand upright and...
That's basically about it. They stand upright and, for the most part, appear to have legs or limbs, like two arms and two legs. And that's about the similarity for it. Whenever I look at them, I always think Mind Flayers are just, in my opinion, like what would be like a stereotypical alien kind of thing. Like very like triangular angled face, has the tentacles, and in other respects are kind of what you look at and you're like, oh, it's Cthulhu, but he's not as powerful anymore.
Right,
but
right.
Also very scary.
Now, these are one of the main creatures that are copyright for Dungeons and Dragons, right? Specifically, right?
Yeah, they've been associated with D&D for so long that wizards basically said, you know what, no one else can use Illithid amongst other creatures.
Right.
And because of that, you won't ever see these in Pathfinder or GURPS without it being said homebrewed.
Right.
You won't find it in any official content.
Okay. So, Mind Flayers, why are they called that? What's their specific thing that they do?
As mentioned earlier, they feast.
What are some of their abilities?
So they are very psionic base as far as hive minds. They have psionic blasts that they can protrude from their own minds. Very, very intelligent creatures on par with very high-leveled wizards as far as intelligence is concerned. Some minor innate magic abilities, unless you want to go into some more specifics, which we will in a minute. But they are, for lack of a better term, they're very hive mind creatures. And with that, they try their best to stun or ambush their enemies. And while they are stunned, devour their brains.
Gotcha.
They use their tentacles. The four tentacles on their face, grapple around the head, and I imagine like a little mouth tongue from Alien series where it just bores into your head and sucks out your brain.
Actually, I did a little bit of research myself. That's actually not true. The tentacles are actually the ones that get into your head and suck out the brains and bring it to their mouths.
Oh, kind of like an elephant or an anteater kind of digging in a hole. Interesting.
That's interesting. I always imagined that, like, somewhere in their mouth, like, behind the tentacles, there was like a needle or something that just like stabbed into the brain and just like essentially like a straw almost and like sucked it up.
Starship Troopers.
That too.
Yeah. The brain
creature. Yeah, Starship Troopers. Yeah. I was also thinking like it just devoured the scalp and then just spit it out and then just kind of sucked out the brain. Just whole.
Either way, it's terrible.
Yeah.
See, anyway. That's why I've always imagined, because I always imagine the head still looks intact because, you know, you can be attacked by a mind flayer and it could start eating your brain and you can theoretically survive if you get saved within like a turn or two. However, like, it never really like gives any mention to like, you know, like the idea that your head could be like caved in or like smashed or anything. So I've never imagined that they actually like eat through like the skull. They like find a way like past it. So that's why I would like either having like a needle or just using like the tentacles to like dig through like a crack or something in your skull or something.
Maybe perhaps the old Egyptian way of mummification where they take a...
Oh no, please no.
I probably should.
Right through the nose.
Yeah. Dig it out through the nose, yeah.
Oh god. These things are awful enough as it is.
Yes. So, mind flayers, where are we most likely to find them? Because if they're all and powerful, how come we don't see... How come most adventuring parties, or there aren't civilizations on the surface of the Prime Material Plane?
And especially since they came from somewhere else, a different plane altogether.
So, in that theory that they've come from a different place, that they don't necessarily not like the light, they just kind of shun it.
Right.
It kind of leads to the fact that they would be under the mountain or in the Underdark.
I also see it as, like, a advantage for them, because a lot of adventurers down there... are just going down. Many may not have dark vision. This is a tactic for them.
And apparently it's absolutely necessary for a mind flayer to eat brains.
Yeah.
Like,
they must devour.
They have to eat it, otherwise they will eventually die.
Yeah, their form of sustenance.
Also, at the same time, any brain that they eat, they maintain that intelligence from that creature. Much how the Aboleth maintains theirs over ancestry.
Yeah.
These creatures gain more intelligence or more memories, abilities through eating the brains of their prey.
Right.
Which is a very, very scary thought. Because I kind of think of it like, okay, well, this particular mind flayer has just eaten an entire assault of wizard brains, and now all of a sudden they're casting, you know, fireball and lightning storm and so on and so forth.
You say spells, like... Other than their mind blast, do they have ranged spells? Is there a variation that they may have spells, or is there...
So your typical mind flayer doesn't really... For the most part, there's exceptions, but most mind flayers don't actually have, like, magic. They have psionics.
Okay.
Which essentially is just, mechanically, just a different type of use of magic. It's not, like, arcane or divine. It's just, like, a natural ability that they have. Specifically through, like, mind power. In the case of mind flayers, their spells are more, I would say their spells themselves are more utility. They're not really for combat per se. They have levitate, which they use to like move around, detect thoughts, which could either be used to locate creatures nearby them, as almost like a sonar or an echolocation ability.
Right.
They do also have, like, plane shift, which makes sense. We don't know where they're from, but they're definitely from, like, other places. And then also they do have dominate monster, so they can, if they have a particularly difficult foe that they're battling, instead of trying to devour its brain, they could just briefly take control of it entirely.
Right. Now, earlier you mentioned that they're somewhat of a hive mind. What is giving them their source of power?
I wouldn't say it's their source of power, but it's what connects them, and we're talking about the all-powerful Oz, or, I mean, not Oz.
Yeah. Elder Brain?
The Elder Brain.
Yeah.
It's, as you would imagine, it's a gigantic brain that rests in a pool of...
brine.
It's just brine.
Well, it's not just brine. Within the brine itself are the larvae of... mind flayers.
Right.
So a mind flayer, their origin is unknown, but how to create mind flayers further on is kind of known. It's still speculation because anyone who's seen it is probably dead or dominated. But the idea is that within the brine of the Elder Brain, the all-powerful brain that connects, that is very psionic itself, but also connects every mind flayer connected to it, are little larvae that are used against humanoids, basically animorphs, where they put the little larvae into the ear, and slowly it morphs them into mind flayers. Connected to the ear.
That ability, like Stargate, I know used that at one point.
Oh, I forgot about Stargate. Yeah, that's a good one too.
Yeah.
So, I feel like the Elder Brain kind of birds these little.
No. They're actually eggs.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
They're laid by the Illithid.
That's interesting.
Interesting, but they lay it within the
in
brine.
In the brine.
Interesting.
When Mind Flayer dies, does the rest know that it's dead? Would you say?
Much like the aliens from Toy Story, they go into absolute chaos when their hive mind is disrupted or destroyed. Mm-hmm. That's how I imagine mind flayers. Like, they still have free thought, somewhat of a free will that they normally had. But now there's no one, like, they have no communication to their next partner, the next person within their line. And with that, it creates kind of a chaos because then they can't organize their attacks in almost punctual sync, where I'm going to do a mind blast and make sure I don't hit anyone. Well, now I don't know exactly where you're at. You know, just having that connection, so I'm, you know, may accidentally hit one or two of my brethren.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also another devil's advocate thought here, that there's amongst the Illithid, there's almost there's equality amongst all of them, except for two. One being the Alun, very psionic focused. They are arcane focused, and because of this, they're shunned. The other mind flayer that doesn't really fall into this equality
is the Utharid.
The Illithid is basically just a larger, stronger, more dangerous mind flayer. And they're essentially, they are arguably one of the most powerful mind flayers that exist. And in some instances, in some groups of mind flayers, can even be considered a rival to an Elder Brain. Sometimes they work together, other times it could be possible where they could actually like compete in like a power struggle for control over their mind flayer brethren.
That is true. Within the Elder Brain society of one particular faction, there is the equality, with the two exceptions that we mentioned, but against two or more colonies that they may rival, and then that equality is no longer shared. It's no longer a, oh, hey, you're a mind flayer too, but you're not our mind flayer. So besides the two kind of exceptions for this equality rant that I'm going on, there are a few abominations that are way further than just, oh, I can cast arcane magic. I'm still a mind flayer, I can just cast arcane magic. What happens if the tadpole grows up, or if maybe it gets implanted into another creature?
I was gonna say that, like, if it's implanted into a, let's say, humanoid, does that humanoid slowly transgress into a, or progress into a mind flayer itself, or is the mind just being eaten as it just makes its, yeah, exactly,
it's gone?
I imagine that it's kind of a combination of the two.
Okay.
Where the mind is being eaten and being taken over by this larva, but at the same time it is also morphing the features of the actual humanoid.
Basically, yeah. What I understand that it happens is that the tadpole literally eats the brain and then eventually takes over as the brain, you know, and becomes the host of this new body.
Okay.
And eventually changes the body to what it needs.
That's cool. It's like a slot, isn't it?
Essentially.
Same concept.
Yeah, similar. That's what I was looking for.
Well, I was going to say, and on top of what you're saying about putting in a humanoid, is that it can be put into certain other ones and change them as well, but it's less common. So it's not always human, but it can be other stuff like elves, orcs, and the other like.
That's I feel like anything humanoid would kind of have. Now I just imagined the short races of Illithid, and you got these really tall orc buff mind flayers, and then you get the little itty bitty halfling sized mind flayers.
A giant, a stone giant. Because they do live in caves and closer to the underground.
And it's actually been apparently said that it's possible that they could actually take dragons. Because of their
You guys are giving me dangerous ideas. Please
look into Please go on.
I like the idea of a mind flayer dragon. Uh-huh. That just seems fun. It's a dragon, which does dragony things. Yet it also now has tentacles that are going to bore into your brain while shooting acid into your face.
No, you got to do the gold dragon or the gold dragons with already have the tentacles and just add
now
four
they're just
more.
Grosser looking.
Now
more
they're more
gross.
And now they got all of them are anamorphic.
That's
yeah.
funny. All right, so like, what other creatures? Were you talking about what other abominations?
First, let's start small. We got the little tiny dogs, the intellect devourers.
Oh yes,
which essentially are just tiny little brain creatures with four legs.
Yep,
that run around and sap people's intelligence.
Yeah, and then eat their brains,
and then eat
and replace them,
and then replace them as like a parasite that just travels around.
And they are very much like lap dogs to the Mind Flayers. They serve Mind Flayers wholly. They do nothing else but to serve these Mind Flayers.
Yeah, they're a very faithful brain hound, I guess to say.
Yeah.
Most renditions do have very dog-like
paws,
too.
Yeah, they usually have like four legs. I always imagine they like even move like dogs. Like they just break into a run and they're like jolting across. Which is funny because you're just, if you don't see the legs that well, it's just this brain very quickly moving across the floor.
What's great is you hear in your mind a bark.
I was exactly saying the same thing. It just runs by and you just hear in your head.
It's actually a wizard nearby just really messing with you.
Vicious mockery.
He is like,
and
I have illusion. A great plan.
You guys just gave me an idea for Loki.
Get a pet intellect devourer?
No, just minor illusion. So what I was thinking, and I've actually heard of these before Volo's Guide, and you can find what I'm about to talk on page 76 of Volo's Guide, the Mind Witness. Which is a beholder mind flayer. I mean, if you thought a beholder or a mind flayer were dangerous, combining the two actually isn't that much different.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a beholder, so I've never faced mind flayers.
They don't have, like, they're still fairly intelligent. I feel like it's more of a combatance between intelligence that's kind of in that combat has kind of dumbed them down a little, at least compared to beholders themselves or mind flayers. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're still dangerous, but they're like, for example, their eye rays are very different. Instead of being like disintegration and stun, like they maintain more of a fear or psychic damage, you know,
which they
attacking
only have
your psyche.
They only have six, so it's not like
they beholders. Have 10. Beholders have 10?
Yes.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
I have not run one yet.
Now, one of the other things with Mind Witnesses that is interesting is, and this is a good idea for in campaigns as well, is beholders are also renowned creatures of, like, Masters of the Underdark.
Right.
And also a very prominent D&D iconic monster.
Yeah.
Now, you then bring Mind Flayers into this, and naturally these are two different creatures that both boast a lot of intelligence that hate each other a lot.
Yeah.
You know, beholders believe that they're like the epitome of creation, essentially.
Yeah.
And then you got mind flayers that are essentially see themselves as like a master race of like conquerors to take over the minds of lesser species and enslave them. So a mind witness is what happens when the beholder loses that fight. It gets dragged to an elder brain and transformed.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, the reason why they're a lot weaker is it's basically the Mind Flayer's way of saying, look how we won, now you're our slave kind of thing, and kind of like shackles its abilities and so it's not as powerful.
What I find funny with one of the main uses that they use for Mind Witnesses is literally just connections back to the colony or to the brain. Mm-hmm. So that way they can take it long distances, use it to then reach back home.
Elder brain Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Right. Telepathic hub is what he's
talking
about.
Their network.
Yeah.
So like, putting them to just slaves and becoming phones for the Illithid, I find is very insulting.
It does go up to 600 feet, so I don't know what the usual...
You used to be a very powerful creature. Mm-hmm. Now you're a telephone line.
Mm-hmm. Well, and...
/ defense tower.
The reason I've heard of these is because of the... Because they were morphed into these Mind Flayer telephone lines. They are actually... If they ever get separated, say an adventuring party slays the Elder Brain and just severs its connection, or they are prone to find anything that has some sort of to give it a psionic connection and obey it. They're very, very obedient slaves, I should put. Which, speaking of slaves, we'll get into in just a moment after the Neolithid. They are what happens if the Elder Brain is slain and the larvae are allowed to grow. So the larvae serve as a dual purpose. They are food in times of necessity, and then they are also fed by the Illithid in order to grow into
more
Illithid. If that Elder Brain is slain and the brine still remains, or say the Elder Brain dies from disease or old age, I don't know if we can do that yet.
Or a tadpole escapes, or someone takes a tadpole.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily the tadpole escaping, because it needs to eat its brethren in order to gain strength and grow bigger.
That pool turns into a Hunger Games situation, and it's every tadpole for themselves.
Well, I was thinking more of Slither.io.
Slither.io.
Yeah. So where you got a worm, you're eating other worms, and you're getting bigger.
And bigger.
And bigger. And bigger. And
bigger.
Until you get to gargantuan size, and... That's kind of where, if I were to introduce this into the world, I would probably either it follows in the trails of, or into the tunnels of maybe a purple worm that has been there or still there.
Can it not naturally bore itself?
It can, but it's more of an open searching.
They cannot burrow.
Anything can burrow.
Not, it doesn't have a natural ability.
No, it does not. That's what I'm saying, like...
It would use old purple worm tunnels.
Old purple worm tunnels or old, waterways, etc. For me, they remind me of what you would take if you got a Illithid's, like, creepiness. A purple worm's size and a Bulette's hunger. Because they basically were raised to eat. They have almost an undying hunger, and for that, that is why these creatures are... abhorrent to the Illithid themselves. They have no control over these creatures and will attack friend and foe alike just to eat. So as dangerous as they are also
not common.
Not common.
I love that they have a one-a-day spell of confusion. So basically, just confuse the heck out of the party, or one person of the party, and then just slaughter him.
I think my favorite part is they can just cast levitate at will.
Which that's
just I find funny because, you know, that's a normal thing for like mind flayers and stuff.
Oh look, a flying snake.
Just this gigantic large worm that can just start floating through the air. Or alternatively, you know, it's in a fight with some adventurers. And the Neolithid thinks to itself, well, I'm going to save that one for later.
Make
and
him
just
float.
Make him float and just wait.
Oh, God.
Well, other options are it is...
Don't let these things get to the surface.
After it's floating, it can't move anywhere without outside interaction because it's an opponent spell. Mm-hmm. It's sitting there. It's just freaking eat it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like easy ski shooting with it's just hanging in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome. Although I would see these more in where I would see these more common where we would see an Illithid colony, which would be in the astral plane. Just because of kind of where their origin started and their war with the Gith, which we covered in a previous episode. And because of that and their eternal war, after they fled, I imagine that there are still some colonies that are out there that maybe the Elder Brain died from a Gith raid, and now these creatures are just roaming the astral plane. Just a gigantic threat. And because it would take a lot of Gith to take care of it, kind of like, oh, well, we leave it alone and it leaves us alone and hunts other astral plane creatures.
Yeah, it just reminds me of like Dune, the worms coming out of the sand.
Yeah.
See, that kind of makes me think with the Gith Yankee and how they fought the Illithid, it would be interesting to see them being like sailing through the astral sea fighting these things, much the same as pirates or whatever in lore fight krakens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So.
Ooh, that'd be fun. A kraken mind flayer.
There's Tarrasque mind flayer?
Tentacles.
Tarrasque mind flayer.
That's just Cthulhu. At that point, it's just Cthulhu.
It grows wings and it just
starts flying around.
No stopping it.
The only brains that actually sustain it are just giant brains. And that's how giants went extinct in your world.
Yep. Yeah. But as I said earlier, they, Illithid themselves, are very slave-oriented race. They are a slave-oriented race. They dominate creatures and use them for pleasure in combat arenas. They, much like gladiatorial arenas, they use them as simple servants to, oh, can you scratch my itch? Can you prepare my brine bath? Can you know, basically, like, they would be watch over my body while I astral project myself, you know. I see them as slave creatures, and with them doing that, I could see them working with other creatures who endure slavery, such as the Duergar or the Drow, who are also Underdark dwellers. Mm-hmm. So maybe making trades. Oh, we've got 3 orcs. What do you got? Oh, we got a couple elves. So on and so forth.
Having a whole slave trade on the Underdark.
Yeah. Exactly, the Underdark slave trade.
Mind flayers on the back of a Neolithid.
I think, though, with
floating through the Underdark.
With the Illithid, though, eventually they would just eat their servants.
Yeah, it's basically, oh, your name is lunch, your name is dinner, and you're breakfast.
They would have to be on a constant supply throughout the months.
Yeah, and that's kind of like, so even though they may trade, they may, you know, take a couple scouting parties of Duergar and Drow just to, oh, our reserves are running low and you guys haven't traded us, so we're eating you.
Yeah, your dinner now.
Your dinner, lunch, and breakfast. I think we should cover the Elder Brain a little bit more. Because I kind of described it as just a giant brain with psionic abilities. It's kind of more than that. It's kind of a combination of everything we've talked about, between having psionic abilities to being a central hub for all of this hive mind, being linked to every psionic creature around it. I feel like there's more that can be done with a Elder Brain.
Well, it does it move?
It does have a movement speed of 5 feet and can swim 10 feet. So, well, it could feasibly
move in the brine.
Go somewhere else. Move around in the brine. Essentially, is I think its main goal. In a dire situation, it, like, say, for example, for whatever reason, the pool got, like, someone cast an earthquake on it, so the pool emptied out.
Right.
So, it needs to find a new home now. It's gonna start slowly inching its way.
Dumped a bag of dust of dryness.
Oh, yeah. I imagine that a older Elder Brain would kind of adopt some of the Aboleth abilities in its movement, encasing it in a membrane so that it kind of protects itself from drying out as it moves to a new location or a new brine pool. Speaking of, I wonder how big these brine pools are.
I mean, it's gigantic, isn't it? So it's got to be...
The Elder Brain itself is a large...
Oh, okay.
However, you also have to... You imagine it would probably be a decent-sized pool.
Yeah, it's a gigantic pool.
Well, it's accommodating the brain and the tadpoles.
Exactly. Yeah. And there needs to be a lot of brine or liquid in there for it.
Exactly.
So I imagine they're pretty large. That's why I really like how you mentioned, like, an Animorphs. with the Yurks, and they have like their, I don't remember what they're called anymore, but they have like the breeding pools basically. Yeah. It's just like these giant pools in the middle of a cavern. Mm-hmm. So kind of the same thing. I would imagine they're pretty large.
I do have an idea, and it's kind of a an odd one. So there are creatures, other creatures that have share a hive mind ability. The particular creature I'm referring to is the cranium rat. With that hive mind, I was kind of thinking a cranium rat or a few lead the adventurers, whether on a constant slaughterfest line or, you know, we're not attacking you, follow us. I think they can talk or psionically connect with adventurers too.
I'll check that.
Come and help me. I need your help. And they basically lead the adventuring party to the Elderbrain, who has potholes in its own mass. And it's realizing that the Illithid for its previous colony, somehow they have severed connection and started eating the Elderbrain whenever they needed to.
Ooh. Wow.
So it's kind of like a desperation they're still trying to eat, but maybe it's out of the, like the tab or the larvae are gone, and now it's just eating the actual brain itself, trying to be either become an elder brain themselves or however you guys want to play it. But just kind of that idea of like, oh crap, I need some help. I'm gonna take over these rats, turn them into cranium rats, get someone else to help me because I can't do much.
Right.
See, it kind of goes along with my idea. Is my idea was the elder brain in some form or fashion having some sort of trauma that makes it go insane, and forcing the Illithid to do strange and obscure things, whether it's taking people from above ground or underground and turning them forcibly into more and more different types of Illithid. And trying to do a type of conquering, but in a very crazed and manic nature, to where it'll force creatures like gnolls or others like really odd and out there creatures like bugbears and owlbears, and just turning him to odd experiments, but he's just constantly trying to do this because he's thinking that it's conquering more and more creatures.
That's by cool. Converting more and more
creatures. More and more conversion.
See, I was kind of, when you first mentioned the madness, I was thinking like total madness where because they're hive mind length, you've got, you, the party comes across a mind flare that is literally just computer error glitching into a wall.
It just
keeps walking into a wall and just like it bumps into it like, oh, excuse me. Oh, excuse me. Oh, excuse me. Or you get ones like where you had mentioned the slaves, like, okay, well, instead of taking slaves from above and bringing them down, we're releasing slaves? We're bringing from the Underdark and putting them up? Or
people are just going free and just walking out. Like,
or they'll
I
eat
don't know
like,
what happens.
They'll eat like half a brain of someone and just let them go and just like...
You've got Vegetable John over there.
Just vegetable people just walking around for no reason, just half a brain.
I very much like the idea of just kind of like a very stereotypical version of Mind Flayers where, say, like, it could be a very good, like, end of campaign, like, level 19 through, or, like, 17 through 20 sort of arc where, you know, up to this point in the campaign, the party may have never even, like, seen Mind Flayers or, like, never even, like, heard of them. And then suddenly there's just, like, this massive invasion from underground. Cities start getting taken over, people start getting enslaved, several like key NPCs that the party has like grown close to either are now enslaved or get killed, like defending whatever region, and it's like a last ditch effort from humanity, and you get like all the different factions and everything uniting together, and they're like, we need these adventurers who have like saved the world, we need to save everyone, and like a suicide mission into the Underdark to find this Elder Brain and kill it. And, you know,
see,
there's just several of them because they've just been a growing threat the entire
campaign. That's what
campaign.
I was thinking. Either one giant one or many of them.
I would do a combo. Just, you got a gigantic brain and it's basically the leader of other elder brains,
yeah,
which
like
are like sergeants
ones.
And so on and so forth, which lead their own individual colonies. Kind of like a conclave of elder brains.
Yeah, and then to make it funny, at the very end, the party discovers that there's a purple worm nest about 20 or like 5 miles underneath the Elder Brain, and they somehow lure the purple worms up.
That would be awesome.
And then just like make it drain its pool out.
That would be awesome. Or Neolithic.
Yeah, well, that then could be like your sort of like final, like, ooh, you didn't see that one coming. You kill the Elder Brain, everyone's celebrating, and then this giant tentacle creature just comes like rushing out to attack.
And eating everything in its path.
I also do kind of like how you guys were mentioning earlier, like kind of like a slave trade situation where, you know, you go into the Underdark, or it can even be like up to the surface where there's like, you know, some shady individuals that are kidnapping people and trading them down into the Underdark, and you go find them and look at this, there's a Mind Flayer colony.
Right.
This is very merchant-like.
That would be weird. It's like they're almost civilized.
Right, they're actually very nice and like actually like money. Like they're not.
They would much rather have a community rather than take over.
Right.
It's like we're comfortable.
Yeah, and then you're like, but you're also kidnapping people. And they're like, it's part of the business.
Ignore that. That's just everyday life for us.
Tell you what, we'll give you 3,000 gold and you'll just be on your way.
Oh, what was the king giving you to
we'll
come down
that.
Here? Yeah, we'll double that.
So, I've never run a Mind Flayer, but I do recall Andrew running a couple. One was a random encounter, I think, and the other one was, unfortunately, I wasn't there, so I'll let him explain what happened on both.
Yeah, thank you. So, yes, the party was in search of a godly weapon that I've mentioned on the in episodes of the past, and they went to the Dwarven Nation, found out that it was taken down into the Underdark by a king or a prince, and they went down and became the Duergar. So, in search of the godly item, the party went down in search of it, and the ranger scouted and actually came into a chasm, very large chasm, many outlets, and in the middle of this chasm was a large city, which looked like it was Duergar make, Dwarven make, but it was just swarming with Mind Flayers. He made his way back to the party, he informed the party of the situation, and they proceeded, without going back to get any reinforcements, to go forth. As you've mentioned, there was a random encounter in which I think you were taking a rest, or...
We were going to get closer, and we were trying to sneak through the city was the initial plan. But Cedric was a loudmouth, and that's what ended up getting them discovered.
Right, which six Mind Flayers, compared to a group of, I think there was seven total?
Seven ninth level characters.
Yeah, against six Mind Flayers, just regular Monster Manual Mind Flayers, which are challenge rating seven, by the way. And they got mind blasted quite a bit by most of them. The only saving grace was the movement in which the Mind Flayers were moving, because they were levitating. Some of them dropped, but I gave them a chance of saving.
This is why your kill count is low.
Yes. I don't like to kill my characters. I want them to succeed.
Focus on the star.
Anyway, the other saving grace was the dwarf cleric, war priest, that came with them, who did I believe a lesser restoration on the cleric, who proceeded to use his powers to... What did you do in that situation?
It's been a while. We've started a new campaign since then. So if I'm correct, I believe I just started wailing on them with magic and physical brute force.
Yeah.
I had a necklace of prayer beads. So as a bonus action, I was able to cast Greater Restoration on another ally,
which I was pretty sure he was able to just beat the crap out of a couple of them and knock them out, which is another reason why I believe the Illithid have slaves, is because they're frail. They are frail. They are glass cannons, as a video gamer would put them.
Yeah. But yes, they did finally vanquish the six Mind Flayers without... actually, they did have two kills. Two of their companions, who were the Half-Orc's Owlbear companion and the Cleric's Mastiff, both perished in the fight. The cleric, as I've mentioned in my campaign,
you can use their names. You
know. Oh yeah, Cedric. Cedric came across a scroll of Revivify, which, as I've mentioned, healing spells of that sort are very, very rare. So he cast it upon the owlbear at a cost of his own companion dying. They buried it, and then they proceeded to go further into the Underdark, which they did encounter the city, and unfortunately Daniel was not present during the next campaign, or the next session, in which they did go into the city, snuck in. They found themselves into a little shop, dwarven shop, and rested for the night, and then they came across another treasure hunter who helped them. He did say that the item that they were searching for was in a church that was once ran by the Duergar, but when they arrived there, which they had to troubleshoot through the city, there was a Alhoon and his two intellect devourers, and they rushed in without thinking about it. The half-orc barbarian started a conflict in which the ranger perished, got his brain eaten by a mind flayer that came in earlier or later, and then the intellect devourer jumped up on the half-orc and bore into the head, and then swapped out the brain for itself. So, yes, I have ran some... Oh, they did... Some of the members did eventually make it out by way of...
they used a portable hole.
Yeah, the cleric got... cleric and the... Actually, the
wizard.
Both the clerics got pushed into the portable hole. The wizard... closed it up and then carried it, put invisibility on himself, and then proceeded to make it out of the city with the item that they did find. That is the way you guys came across Mind Flayers.
And then I would like to add that we epilogued that with Cedric coming back with a freaking army and desolating every freaking Mind Flayer in that place.
Yep, you did.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else, but I'm coming up blank.
No, I think we pretty much discussed what we had, the topic at hand. Thank you for listening. Thank you for staying at the Bardic Inn. If you would like to hear more, we will be uploading new content Thursdays at noon PST on
iTunes, YouTube, CastBox, and Podbean.
If you have any recommendations on future content, you can leave a comment on these various platforms, or you can contact us on Twitter at The Bardic Inn, or on Facebook at facebook.com/Bardic Inn.
We're your local bards,
Daniel,
Andrew,
Dev,
and Jake.
Be inspired.